to the Healing Light Comfort Zone. You're in the Healing Light Comfort Zone. Welcome to the Healing Light Comfort Zone. Tonight we have a very special program with a pair of special guests. Peter Merlin, Tony Morris of the X-Hunters, experimental crash site test investigators. They'll be here tonight narrating as we weave in and out of the Healing Light Comfort Zone. We'll also be hearing a number of new compositions from M. Geddes Gengris, Hobo Cube, Steve Moore, and a very special track from Kid 606. Here comes Ed Geddes Gengris now. From his world famous LP, Unholy Mountain Test Leads. This is Waldorf Parts 1 and 2 on the Healing Light Comfort Zone. Thank you.
Thank you. during the course of the test flight, the crew was doing high angle of attack maneuvers and overstressed the airframe. So it literally broke apart starting at the outer wing panel, and what was left kind of tumbled end over end. The crew was unable to bail out. They didn't have any sort of ejection seats back then, 1947. They would have had to climb out and use their parachutes. So nobody got out. And the plane just crashed right here and burned. And the crews from what was then Muroc Air Force Base, which you can actually see Edwards from up here on top of there, they came out and recovered the wreckage and the bodies. Since Glenn Edwards was the closest they had to someone from California in command of the aircraft, and this was a California base, they named it in his honor. Danny Forbes is from Kansas, so they named the base out there Forbes Air Force Base.
Thank you. General Cardenas. Bob Cardenas was flying the wing a few days before this happened and got into a similar situation. And Jack Northrop built seaplanes. And seaplanes usually have their throttles up here on the overhead. And that's where the throttles on the YB-49 were. General Cardenas got into a stall there. They were doing a high angle of attack maneuvers also. He stalled the aircraft and it flipped over on its back and started tumbling backwards and creating positive G's where it threw his hands up in the air and he could get to the throttle. And he slapped two throttles closed and caused the aircraft to spin. And once he got it into a spin, he could get back out of that and save the aircraft. He told Forbes and he told Edwards about this. Be careful of it. It does, you know, it wants to flip over backwards. And it did. Unfortunately, when they did it, they recovered the stall forward and it flipped forward over and pinned their hands in their laps. And they couldn't get to the throttle and couldn't try to pull the same maneuver and never got a chance before the aircraft overstressed and broke. And basically, that's why we're here.
Thank you.
guess I did. Real quick, back in the 80s and 90s, I used to work for Vincent. When Pete and I were doing this, and some of the guys I worked with wanted to come wreck chasing, like you are today. So we brought them here because everybody's been here. They're handing maps out about this place over at the history office, so we came here. And it hadn't been really hoed up like it has been dug up now. And you could still come here, and we're right in this area. And you could dig down with a little garden trowel, a couple inches, 5-6 inches, and come to a layer of burned earth, thin layer of burned earth, and smell jet fuel. And you could, you know, and I told these guys we're digging back through, you know, history, archaeology on the fine, you know, the thinnest sense, but we're digging back through history to 1948 to that time, and that's we just got there. And as we were digging in there, just kind of probing around, this guy, Chris Sanders, who became a director at Disney, actually, had a shovel full of dirt, and he was about to flip it over his arm, and I noticed something shiny in the very tip of his shovel, and I picked it out as it went by. And I put it in my hand, and it was a star sapphire. And I thought, that's kind of odd. And I turned it over, and it had been worked. It had been set in a setting, and I thought, you know, in a situation like this, when we do things like that, and we find something like that, you don't immediately go, this must have belonged to the crew. You're like, this must have belonged to somebody digging around here, knocked it off the range.
Because a lot of visitors had worked here and dug with shovels and screens, and there have been so many people doing that, and also just folks coming up on their dirt bikes.
Yeah.
You'll see lots of debris from beer bottles and things. It could be from anybody.
But, he said, you know, you just don't go there first. So I gave Chris the stone, and I said, you hang on to this, you keep it safe. I'm going to research. Told Pete. Pete looked, we looked, crew photos, any histories. We looked and looked. Couldn't find anything. 5 years passed. I was at the Blackbird Air Park, which is a part of the museum. We both volunteered there. It was a Sunday morning. I was alone, and an old-timer named Don Thompson showed up. Don Thompson had been in Edwards since the early 40s. He flew in the XP-59, our first jet, literally in a cutout hole in the front of the nose, while the pilot was in this nice little cockpit. Don was in a hole in the front of the airplane doing flight test readings on all the instruments in there.
He was a flight test engineer.
And he'd done everything, and he'd been on Edwards since the 40s. He showed up that day, and we were out there talking, and he asked me how I'd come to be there, and I said, well, I know Doug Nelson, first curator of the museum, and how Pete and I brought stuff back to the museum, and we went out looking for ashes, and become volunteers, and I said, we found the XB-70, and the 15, and the X-2, and the YB-49, he goes, oh, I was there when it crashed. I was one of the guys who put him in the airplane and buttoned the door up. And he goes, you know, Danny Forbes, the pilot, he'd only been married 2 or 3 weeks when that happened, and his wife had just given him this big star sapphire ring. And he turned around and looked me right in the eye, and he pointed at me. He goes, you know, they found the setting, but they never did find the star. out from trying to put the fire out. He's laying there, and the kid ran up to him, and he looked at him and was just kind of shocked, and Jaeger asked him if he had a pocket knife so he could cut the glove off his hand, and he said, I cut the glove off my hand, a little meat came off with it, the kid threw up. And he laughed, and I just was like, ah. He's like, yeah, a little meat came off, the kid threw up. They came out with a rescue helicopter, but Edwards picked him up, took him to the hospital, and he recovered from the extent of the burns, which were pretty bad. He recovered really well. You still see some scars on his neck, but that's it. And recently I found a picture of his helmet in the museum. Smashed faceplate, burned. The rubber seal that went around his face burned. Scorch marks all over it. Must have been some ride.